Welcome to the fourth episode of Apartment 504. My name is Ashley.
Hi, it's Emily.
And we are back after a 1 month hiatus. We took a hiatus after three episodes.
Yeah, we needed a break.
But each of us took a whirlwind Europe trip. And with the Thanksgiving holiday, we are now back in action. And I'm also really pleased, Emily, that you'll be home. So I think we'll be having more opportunities for in-person potting. So as our introductory question today, you and I have not been able to catch up since Reputation, Taylor Swift's latest album, was finally released. And so I would like to ask you what your favorite tracks off the album are. If you had to, let's take your top three.
Top three? You're going to make me choose out of three? Okay. Well, just today, I started putting together my winter Spotify playlist. If you would like to know the name of it, I actually question if I should tell it, but I've started this train of thought, so now okay. I must. It is.
Don't tell me it's Winter is Coming.
No, it's not, because I don't care about Game of Thrones. So in previous years, it was It's Cold, which would have been so much more appropriate now that I live in New York. And then I saw Stacey's playlist was called Winter Chill, which I thought was kind of clever. And what I came up with was wintered, like win and then turd. W-I-N-T-U-R-D.
Like one word or two words?
One word.
Okay.
One word. I was pretty proud of it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I was just putting that together today. And luckily, Taylor released all of her tracks onto Spotify, so I was able to put the songs that I liked from Reputation onto my playlist, which was basically everything minus the fast songs.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a fan of the fast songs. Controversial. Hot take. So I'm not a fan of... And like Endgame, I didn't even put on my playlist, even though it has Ed Sheeran in Future, and it's definitely going to be a single. I didn't like I Did Something Bad. I didn't like Don't Blame Me. I didn't like This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, so I pretty much liked everything besides
those tracks. I see what you're
saying.
I didn't like those either.
So if I had to choose top three, which is very difficult for me, Getaway Car and King of My Heart are in there for sure. Those are my top two. Oh my gosh, for third one, I think tie between Gorgeous and New Year's Day.
Ooh.
Although I do like Delicate and Dress, so I basically can't choose. And this is not interesting for someone who hasn't listened to the entire album and know every track, but too bad. This is a great album. You should listen to it.
Oh, that was just a prereq for listening to any of our episodes anyways.
Yeah, true. Okay, what are yours?
Okay, my top two are Call It What You Want. Delicate. I love those. King of My Heart is also up there. Yeah.
Love King of My Heart.
I feel you on those two, but I am more partial to, I mean, by those two, I mean Getaway Car and King of My Heart, in case you don't know the track list in order. I am more partial to King of My Heart. And then I feel like Dress and New Year's Day are ones that with more listens, I would get more into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dress, I know that I like, but I can't, like, if you were to ask me right now what it sounds like, I couldn't tell you. So I feel like it's a little bit more indistinguishable.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones that we've named, I think, like, I can identify them. I know what it sounds like
yeah.
even though I haven't listened to it in weeks.
Yeah. And then I'd say Endgame is just my current catchy one that I, like, I know is, it's probably not one of my all-time favorites. Because in actually, I kind of hate that whole metaphor of what she's gay.
It sounds like she's trying so hard. Like, I want to be your first string. Like, she's just, like, mixing all these different sports metaphors. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it actually really makes me cringe. But, like, it's one of those that just gets stuck in your head.
Yeah, but, okay, see, here's the thing. I loved Ready For It when it came out. And I think the reason why I don't like this fast songs is even though, like, you can listen to it and they're catchy, I just don't think they have any lasting power. As cheesy as it sounds, I think the other tracks are the ones that are, like, more timeless, even though I know timeless is not an appropriate word because we're talking about Taylor Swift. But, like, they just have – they don't feel so, like, ephemeral and, like, of the moment, like, this is what's hot on the radio right now.
Not at all. And, okay, I want to limit our Taylor time on this. I feel like we need to get into it because I just want to talk about it.
Okay, I just have – okay, I have two more topics that are quick, but what were you going to say?
Yeah, I just think in terms of the overall sound, I just really feel like Taylor kind of failed a lot. I think in the beginning when we were first talking about Gorgeous and stuff, like that was when that was like kind of a new, like newish, like something she's hasn't done before in terms right. of sound, I guess. And I was saying how Max Martin has done a great job.
Right.
But now that I've heard the whole album, I'm kind of just like overall really disappointed.
Yeah, it's not her best.
Yeah, there's a ton of songs I feel like I could put in like similar categories of how yeah. they sound.
Agreed.
Yeah, right. And then the fast songs really suck. Like
they're not
all
good.
Super electronic.
Yeah. And not even in a unique way. It's not doing anything interesting or new. Like 1989 was good.
Yeah.
This is not doing anything interesting. And I feel like she's sacrificing all her stupid sass and like, you know, her message about like these big, her big reputation at the expense of like good songwriting and good music, which is what she's known for.
I also just feel like it's a really elementary way to like use that reputation theme throughout, you know?
I completely agree.
The way that she says the big reputation stuff in Endgame really makes me cringe. Like,
well, there's no subtlety. Like,
no,
I guess
not
Taylor's
at all.
Never been one for being that subtle, to be fair, but like now more than ever, there is zero subtlety and she's not even doing like the being really overt thing that well, I feel
yeah.
like. It's just not clever or anything.
And this is why we can't have nice things. Like, I hate when she just, like, laughs and she's like, I
oh my
can't
gosh.
Even stay at the straight face. Like,
I know.
I hate that. And that's why I love Call What You Want so much. Like, I feel like I just wanted an album where she was just, like, vulnerable and more honest. Like,
yeah.
Call What You Want. She, like, admits defeat where she's like, you know, I brought a knife to a gunfight. And
yeah.
I loved that. I was like, ugh, I could have taken so much.
Also, okay, if we're going to get into lyrics.
Yeah.
This is why we can't have nice things. So she's talking about the whole, like, Kanye thing, right? And she's
yeah.
like, okay, we mended, but friends don't, like, get you on the phone and mind twist. You
yep.
and then she says, so I took an axe to a mended fence. It's
yep.
like, Taylor, you didn't take the axe. Kim took the axe when she released all the receipts on Snapchat. You did not take an axe.
Right.
You got axed. So I thought
right.
that was dumb.
Yeah, that was dumb. She did mention receipts in another song too. So yeah, there's a couple subtle things in there. And also my thought is that I get that she's in love and I love her inspiration for it, but I guess it truly is like, I don't know what's missing. I think it's because we don't know who Joe is actually as a person that I just feel overall less enthused for her love.
Okay. Also, don't you find the narrative of Getaway Car fascinating? Cause it's basically Calvin to Tom.
Oh really? I don't.
Yes.
What are the lyrics?
So the lyrics basically say like, there's a line about like, I needed a reason to leave, which was like, everyone thinks it's alluding to Calvin, and like in talking about like when they met, she's like, the ties were black, the lies were white. So it's like black tie event, Met Gala, white lies because she was still with Calvin. And then she mentioned about how she needed a reason to leave. And then the whole song is about how like we met in a getaway car, so how could you think it would last? And it's kind of, I don't know, like the whole narrative that I've now completely bought into is that like Tom was totally her excuse to leave Calvin. They definitely like, there was a little bit of overlap, or at least there was some like emotional something going on.
Ooh.
But then the whole song, she's saying like, well, this is the way we left, or this is the way we met. And then like, you know, you should have known like faster.
Oh, juicy.
Yeah. But then my one other thought, so I love Getaway Car. You should definitely read the lyrics. I think it's so Calvin and Tom. Oh, there's also another reference to Calvin and Tom when on one of the songs, I can't remember which one right now, she talks about like all the men in their fancy cars, their Range Rovers and their
yep.
Jaguars.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like literally the cars they drive. Tom is a spokesperson for Jaguar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I didn't know actually that Calvin drove a Range Rover until then. I actually looked it up because I was like, well, the Jaguar is definitely Tom because he's been in commercials for them. And sure enough, Calvin drives a Range Rover. So I was like, that's a little pointed. Again, Taylor's not subtle.
Why is he? I was gonna say, why is she taking the hate angle? But I guess she always does with previous exes.
It's not. I mean, and it's not necessarily hate, right?
Yeah.
She's just in a new relationship now that she's like really happy in. My one other thing that I just wanted to share on this podcast, even though everyone's probably sick of Taylor already by now, is that I, as a Tom Hiddleston fan, I love him so much. I'm really sad that he's never gonna get the love song album that he deserves. Because she didn't make music in that time period. So now what's she going to do? Like release a whole album of songs she wrote while she was in love with him? That's weird because she's not with him anymore. So
it's
anyways.
Also because that relationship wasn't real.
I know. Okay, fine.
Just
whatever. But I'm just really indignant on his behalf because I think he deserves better than that. But that's all.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
I hope he gets it from someone else one day.
I hope so too. I love him so much.
He gets is his getaway car like this.
I know. And he's basically just blown up his spot. Poor guy.
Yeah. Overall. Okay. What rating would you give it overall?
Out of what? What's our scale?
Oh, sorry, 10.
Okay, if 1989's like, what, a 9?
Yeah, I would give it a 9.
1980, okay, here's the thing. After all this hate that I just piled on it, I'd still give it like an 8 because I still love listening to it. I just think it's, I don't like the fast songs, but basically if you take out all the fast songs, I still really like it. I'm disappointed in Taylor. I don't think it's up to her standards, but you know what? I still freaking love it, so.
How into it still will you be in like a month, you think?
I don't know. Ask me in a month and we'll see. I'm still pretty into it right now.
But that would be less actually commentary on Taylor specifically and more just about music in general, because I feel like music just passes by really quickly now.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, there aren't a lot of songs that I'm still into. Although I was looking at my season playlists and I had Hamilton on basically a year's worth of playlists, so. You go, Lin-Manuel.
Who is pregnant, by the way?
Who is pregnant, expecting? And also, I just so happened to catch the last two episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which he was on, and it was delightful.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah, I would give it a 7.
Okay.
Which seems okay, but I think, like, every other album, it's definitely her worst one ever, I think.
Even better than, like, Speak Now or that, like, rando album in the middle that only had, like, two good singles.
Red, yeah. Yeah.
No, not Red. Red was a good one.
Oh.
The one that, like, I think it was Speak Now.
I think those are great.
Okay. We got Harry Meghan next.
Okay, yeah. Moving on.
Okay. Do you have thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Okay. I will say, my preconceived notions of Meghan, I did not watch Suits. Do you?
I did. Okay. I don't currently, but I did. It's been on forever.
I don't watch Suits, so I only have vague idea of who she is. My only exposure to her was reading her blog, The Tig.
Wait, did you read it after it came out that she was dating him, though, so you were curious and went back? Or did you actually read it, like, organically?
I read it organically, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure. And I just remember her commentary coming off to me as just, like, really... Okay, well, first of all, it's one of those, like, you know, basic... actress blogs, and like just felt a little like, you know, goop wannabe, right. And
which it probably was,
and her voice was just sounded pretentious to me, which after watching the interview with Harry, I think that is just her like demeanor and how she carries herself. I don't think she's like trying. I think that it's just how she carries herself, but anyways, that's just the impression that I had of her, that she's just try hard. Like, to me, like, initially, I was like, when I heard that she was dating Harry, I was like, I bet she gunned for this. Like, I bet she, like, okay, I don't know. This is maybe a female thing. But, like, I just felt like she might have, it's just something she would have, like, strategized for, or just something that she would really, really want, given her interest and given, like, I don't know. So that's kind of my general thought. But I will say, after the interview and kind of just thinking about the royal family more, I've also never been that into, like, the royal family that much. But after thinking about it some more, the interview, I do believe that they're just so, so in love. And, like, I'm really, like, happy for them. And, like, I think it is a really good match. Like, they are a really good match for each other. And then also just realizing, like, the royal family, like, getting into the whole buzz is actually pretty fun. Like,
oh, my God. Love them. So excited for the wedding.
Yes. Should just, like, lead into it, you know? Like, yes. Why not? Like, there's no reason why to, not? Like, really hate them.
Agreed. Okay, no, that's fascinating because I did know of her beforehand, so I didn't have that, like, new perspective going into it or, like, reading all about this. I definitely see the goopy thing. That's true. I think I also, because I watch Suits, I do conflate a little bit of her with her character, and her character in the show is obviously, like, very intelligent, well-spoken, smart, like, becomes a lawyer. But I also did, because I watched Suits, I had, like, you know, Googled her and whatever. I knew that she was, like, smart and accomplished in real life, so I think I just appreciated that about her, and obviously she's beautiful and, you know, super classy looking. So yeah, I loved it. I was so down for it. So down for Harry finally settling down.
Mm-hmm.
I thought their interview was pretty adorable and funny. Like I texted you guys about, I juxtaposed that, because then after I watched that entire interview, I watched Will and Kate's interview, and yep. It was so different. They were like clasping hands the whole time, like, so, like, in that honeymoon phase, you can totally tell. And Will and Kate were just, like, chilling, like, making, like, sarcastic jokes. Like, Will kept on, like, being sort of silly, and Kate's just, you know, really chill. And they'd been together for, like, 10 years at that point, and it was just, like, a really funny contrast. You could tell that Will and Kate were obviously in love and so comfortable with each other, but, like, it was such a different vibe than Harry and Meghan, who were, again, just, like, all parts of their body were, like, touching appropriately yes. so at all times throughout the interview. And even when they did their little photo op, you know, when they, like, walked out and, like, got their pictures taken, like, they were holding hands so, like, tightly, I felt like.
Did you read that it was a big deal that she wasn't wearing pantyhose?
No, I didn't.
Because there are a lot of stock. I think it is a really good idea to compare the two interviews because there are a lot of stark differences between Kate, or Catherine, as they say, and Megan, because the touching is the one thing, and then apparently Kate always has to wear pantyhose, or like it's just always in general more covered up.
But Megan's in the best thing because Kate is the one with all eyes on her. I mean, she's going to be queen.
Right, and so that's why they're saying she has to be more strict with how they present themselves, which I understand. So, and you know how there's rumors, too, about how, like, maybe, like, oh, like, Kate and Megan, like, don't like each other. Like, Kate doesn't right. like her. Like, I actually don't believe that's true. Like, I think
after I think it's dumb. They're just trying to pit women against each other.
I am really curious about their timeline, though, because it is rather fast. But at the same time, like, they are older. Like, I completely forgot she's 36.
Yeah. I mean, she's been married before. Scandal.
Yeah, yeah. So I love what she represents, too. I think just bringing in, a divorcee and, like, being biracial, like, those are all great things, too.
Yeah. And our friend Grace did make a point where she was saying that she thought it was really lame that Megan had to give up her acting career for this.
Yeah.
And normally I'm all about, like, hey, like, you know, that's lame. Women need to do their own thing. But I feel like in this case, I actually didn't think that, which might be surprising. But, like, I felt like, I mean, Harry mentions it in the interview. He's like, I had to have a very frank conversation with her. It's not like she was forced to do it, you know? It's like two mature, consenting adults who, it sounds like, spoke about this very early in their relationship, like, went into this both eyes open. And she made the choice because she loves him and realizes that, you know, it's a trade-off, and she gets a massive platform to do all the humanitarian work that she's passionate about. And, like, I think that's kind of great. I think that's cool and good for her. So I actually didn't feel like my feminist bone was, like, angry.
It was interesting for me to recognize that it's not just two people being in love, right? This is a unique situation where being in a relationship is also a job.
Yeah.
So, and I realized, like, probably the only other thing where that happens is, like, being, like, a pastor's wife or something, right?
Interesting. I didn't even think about that, but true. Or, like, a politician's wife.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Anything where you're basically being looked at.
Yeah, yeah. Because you could argue for, like, an athlete's wife or... less job.
I mean, have you seen Wags?
Okay, cool. Happy for Harry and Meghan. Wish them all the best. Cannot wait for the wedding.
So excited for the wedding.
We're gonna have to like wake up in the middle of the night to properly watch it, I think. You'll be on a much better time zone.
I remember it's pretty late at night on the West Coast. I remember streaming Kate's wedding, like, while I had a paper due and, like, being up really late and watching it.
That's awesome. Such, like, cultural moments. That's really cool.
Thought her dress was beautiful. Although, I don't know, if you were Kate, would you be, like, a little peeved that she couldn't have waited a little bit longer after giving birth? Because it'll be, like, a month after. She's due in April.
I am curious, like, about this timeline. Like, why does it have to be...
Yeah, like, why spring? Why couldn't she have had, like, summer, until summer, you know?
Yeah. Okay, would you like to pick the next topic?
So, I don't really have anything to say about Lady Bird, but I'm curious your thoughts on it, since you put it on the agenda.
Yes. So I haven't watched it either, but I'm just really excited about it. The reason I got initially interested, probably because I was also having some conversations with my mom, hard conversations with my mom. So the concept of the movie sounded interesting to me. But more so, it's been not a introduction, but a reintroduction to Greta Gerwig for me, who, like, I've always kind of, like, vaguely knew about it. Do you know a lot about her?
Not a ton. Yeah, I just kind of, like, vaguely know who she is.
Okay, so I watched a couple interviews with her, and I'm actually just, like, really loving her and what she's about.
Great.
One, she's from Sacramento, from, like, Northern California, mm-hmm. which we don't see as much of. Shout out to Jessica Chastain as well. And one thing that just, I guess, really made me empathize with her, do you remember, like, what's happening with How I Met Your Dad? What?
The show?
Yes. Greta shared the story that she was in the original pilot, and they picked up the show, but not her. They did, like, I think they did audience testing, and, like, you're supposed to turn the knob, like, positive when you like it, negative when you don't like it. Uh-huh. And apparently, I don't know if she's exaggerating, but across the board, it turned negative when she came on screen.
That's really sad.
Yeah, and she shared that at a talk show. And I was just like, man, like, you know, yes, this is a woman too. I cannot believe like what she went through. But anyways, she's channeling all her energy into being a writer-director. This is her first stab at directing. And I love how much critical acclaim it's getting. And I love Saoirse Ronan as well.
That's why I'm so thrilled about this, because I love Saoirse.
Saoirse. Yeah. And it, like, it's like an Oscar contender. And like, I think very quickly, it's just like, because I just started like mildly researching it. But then like very quickly within the next 2 weeks, it kind of blew up in terms of the Oscar buzz. So I'm super stoked. And I just like love that. Yeah. Even in interviews as well, she's not, she's like the anti-Meghan Markle in a way. Like, she's not the best at articulating herself. And yeah, it just seems like she comes from a rather like humble experience. And so
I love the fact that like I was vaguely aware of who she was, but like, you know, I knew her as like basically the like third tier best friend on No Strings Attached, so like not exactly a big claim to fame, and the fact that like with her debut in terms of like writing and directing that's getting this much acclaim is so amazing for like a female driven film. So I'm very excited for her. I definitely want to watch it. I want to watch this. I want to watch Call Me By Your Name, which we were talking about earlier.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. Tell me about Timothée Chalamet.
Timothée Chalamet is the next big thing, guys. You heard it here first. Well, that's not true. Vulture's been doing many articles about it, but if you're not reading Vulture like 24/7 like me, then you are hearing it here first, because he's still under the radar, but he's about to blow up because he's in Call Me By Your Name with Armie Hammer, which is getting tons of Oscar buzz. They're saying he's going to be nominated for an Oscar, and he's going to be the youngest lead actor Oscar nominee since like Mickey Rourke or something. And he's in Lady Bird, which is also getting all this acclaim, like we were saying.
Wait, he's in Lady Bird too?
Yeah. So him and Saoirse are friends. No, he's in both.
Oh,
so he's having his moment.
Okay,
he is literally having his moment right now. He's in all these movies that are coming up. He's in another movie where he's like playing the son of like a meth addicted, I think, Woody Harrelson. So anyways, he's in all these movies with all these big names. Oh no, Steve Carell. He's Steve Carell's son in a movie. And he's like 21 years old. He went to LaGuardia High, Fame High. His parents are in the biz. Yeah, and he's going to be a huge thing, guys. So let's all keep an eye on him, you know? Oh, and he's in that Woody Allen movie with Selena Gomez.
Oh, really?
Yes, so he's in everything.
Okay, so it's just like his time.
It's his time. Like, he's having his moment.
What was he in before?
Nothing. I mean, he's like 21 years old.
Okay, so he's just like freshly groomed out of like Fame High, and I don't know if he went to college.
I mean, I'm looking at his Wikipedia now. He had some like small roles. Oh, he was Matthew McConaughey's son in Interstellar.
Okay.
And they've stayed in touch.
Ansel Elgort went to that high school, right?
He did indeed. Yeah, I was watching a random movie the other day, and Ansel Elgort's like father was like the cinematographer on it, and I was like, hey.
Hey.
Good story. Hey. Did you know Nicki Minaj went to that high school as well?
What? No.
Nicki Minaj went to LaGuardia High.
No way.
Yeah, huh?
Wow. True story. I love that fact.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that briefing, because I've been seeing his name all over. I just had no idea who he was.
Yeah, she graduated from LaGuardia High and then was cast in an off-Broadway play.
Nikki?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's educated, or at least in terms of high school.
Nice.
And you have to like audition to get into that school.
Oh, yeah. I saw the movie.
Did you see the remake with Carrington Payne, though?
Oh my gosh, no. Wait, who is she again?
She's from So You Think You Can
Dance. Yeah. Okay,
the random obnoxious girl that I don't think we liked. Anyways, neither here nor there. So, Lady Bird, very excited to watch. I want to watch Call Me By Your Name, too.
Okay, yeah, me too. Looking forward to that. Hopefully a lot of movie watching during Christmas time.
I got MoviePass.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh, very excited. Get it, and we can watch movies together.
Okay. Maybe I'll turn it on for like a month, 2 months.
I mean, it's $10.
Yes. We can wrap it up with our follow unfollows.
You want to start? Mine's not that interesting.
Yeah, I can start. My unfollow is actually similar to yours. I'm not going to name who it is. It's just the person on my actual IRL.
Oh.
That I've just decided to unfollow. But I feel like just demonstrates a general like characteristic of people that are personality that are on Instagram. But just this old coworker of mine that is trying real hard to start his own business. And,
Mm-hmm.
And you know, basically anytime he sees a celebrity, you will know about it. He tries to go to these events and tries to meet people.
Oh, so like sees them from afar because he paid to go see them.
He paid to go see them, but then somehow is also that kind of guy that's able to like weasel his way to actually meeting people or like at least getting a picture next to them. Mm. So I feel like I take every picture with a grain of salt because I just, it could be Photoshop for all I know, but. His latest was with Miranda Kerr and just went on this whole paragraph about how great she is and inspiring she is. And
so extra.
It's very extra, exactly. So I think that's my unfollow. And my follow for the week on Instagram is Hung Van Gogh. Mm. He is Selena Gomez's makeup artist, and he is an Asian male. And so good. I was really, really excited to learn about that. And I've been following him ever since. And it is cool and interesting to see more behind the scenes stuff of Selena, or not behind the scenes rather, but just I see like every look that she has, like every public appearance, every editorial, like he posts as well. And so I get to see more of Selena than actually what she posts.
Good to know. Maybe I need to get on that.
Yeah. And then he does like he has a lot of other reputable clients as well. So I think in general, it's interesting because there are just like, I think makeup artists have been and are just on the rise. Like they're getting much more famous than they used to be and making a name for themselves. Like I actually like recognize and know who the Kardashian makeup artist is as well, which is like not something we would have probably known without social media.
Yeah, and good for them. They do a lot of work.
They do, yeah. They probably have to put up with a lot, yeah. Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, I'm looking at that list that you sent me from. Is that from Hung Van Gogh?
Yeah, that's like his recommended, not for Selena, but it's his recommended like advice for anyone. I can send you I'll just send you the whole article.
Great, please do. Because in this thing that you sent me, he recommends legitimately about $260 worth of moisturizer. And girlfriend's not made of that kind of money, so.
Girlfriend's trying to shop on Ulta.com, so.
Yeah. Ulta has high-end things.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, Ulta's like Sephora.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great. Love that. I think I might have to follow your follow. Okay, so my unfollow. My unfollow, I'm okay. Well, now I feel bad because you didn't name your person, but I don't personally know this person. So I don't think I need to feel bad about the fact that I'm naming them, but she's not really a celebrity. So it's Tracy Chow. Do you know who Tracy Chow is?
No.
Okay. So her claim to fame is she's the one who wrote I don't know if it was like Medium or, you know, Slate or whatever article about like where are the numbers in terms of diversity in the Silicon Valley. So she's the one who wrote an article that basically like sparked companies releasing their numbers because, you know, for a long time, right, nobody knew the exact proportion of statistics of like how few female engineers or just like females in general and people of color, etc. In like Google, Facebook, etc. So she's the one who wrote the article. It was like a blog post that went viral that basically prompted this outrage and prompted the companies to release it. So that's her claim to fame. Since that, she's been, you know, a pretty outspoken voice for diversity in the Silicon Valley. She's been on the cover of Atlantic with Joel Emerson. Shout out, hey. Yep. Founder of Paradigm. So anyways, yeah, that's like her thing now. Like she was an engineer at Airbnb and then she left. She actually moved to New York and continuing to be very active and vocal on like all these women's issues and specific to tech usually, but not always. But I just felt like she was getting really, so I followed her because at first I thought that was really cool. And then she started getting on my nerves, but she always like posted really good articles. So I kept it for that. But in the end, I felt like she was just getting a little too humble braggy with this type of stuff that she would post. And it became something that just annoyed me more than it was worth. And I felt like even though she did post good articles, so I decided to unfollow her. So I'm on her Twitter right now. Yeah, like her profile picture is her on the cover of Technology Review magazine with a giant headline that says Meet Tech's Rising Stars.
I think she's
been in like Vogue too. So she's, yeah. I mean, she's...
Oh, wait. I came across this girl recently.
She's pretty legit.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
58.6K followers. Look, I think she stands for something great. I'm all for that. But, you know, just she started getting on my nerves. So...
Okay, so this is a Twitter unfollow.
This is a Twitter unfollow, yes.
Okay.
My follow... so on the other end of the spectrum of, you know, being a champion for social justice, there is Tori... from Are You the One? and The Challenge, my two passions, which I've spoken to about at length, I decided to follow her because I just decided that she's a badass female as well. You know, maybe not in the same vein as Tracy Chow. She's not going to be on any, lists of Tech's rising stars. But I appreciate her. I think she's represents females in a different way. By showing that they can be strong and fierce competitors, which she was on The Challenge, without having to play too dirty. So anyways, I just decided that she's entertaining, and I like her, so I followed her. Although I'm not going to lie, she's not the most entertaining, so she might be my unfollow next week. But as of now, she's my follow.
I'm surprised you weren't following her right after Are You the One.
She was really into her music. She posted all these, all her music clips and stuff, and it's, not very good music, so I wasn't into it.
Oh, yeah. So. I see that she lost.
She got third place. She was a rookie, which sounds, silly, but in a show like The Challenge, where the people that she lost to, literally have been on the show, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. Fact that it was her first time on the show and she did so well is, actually pretty impressive.
Wow, so she'll probably be back.
Oh, for sure. I would imagine, yeah. And so now the new season of The Challenge is the one with Sean Johnson and Lil Romeo and Terrell Owens. It's amazing.
Yes. Champs versus Stars.
Champs or Stars. Get into it.
I see that she has her own merch, so she can't be doing that bad.
I mean, I could have my own merch if I wanted to. We could have merch, actually. We could have apartment 504 merch.
Oh my god. Well, we would need a logo first, so we really need to get on that.
Okay, and then we'll have merch. We'll give it to all our friends for Christmas. That's the only presents they're getting from us. Self-promotional swag.
I can't wait. Okay, cool. Thanks for joining. We'll be back next week, I think, hopefully.
Yes. How mad would you be if I wasn't recording this the whole time? I'm just kidding. Sorry, had to do it.
Okay, see you next week.